Thank you ever so much to everybody for joining, and a very warm welcome to the very first in our brand new winter series of webinars at FarmStrong Scotland. We're very excited to bring them, and as you know, for those who are joining, the theme this year is very much focused on sport and sport personalities, but that doesn't mean that you need to be a sport lover. The topics that we're going to be talking about are very much around how well-being can integrate into your life, whether or not you are a runner, a walker, or perhaps you might like to do weightlifting. So for those of you who have joined and don't know a lot about FarmStrong in Scotland, it is a well-being programme that was launched a couple of years ago for the farming and crofting industry. It is very much peer-to-peer led, so we're very much looking for feedback and continuously developing in line with what the industry is looking for. It's about sharing tips and advice and small steps that you can integrate into your daily lives, both personal and in the business, so that you can feel better in your well-being and hopefully improve your business as well. And it's very much driven by scientific information. So everything is backed with evidence or advice from industry experts or individuals who can give us some really good insights. So on the website, for example, we've got a resource on stress management. We're looking at sleep at the moment, but there's also the basic five steps of well-being and how they can be part of your daily lives. And I'm sure Sam's going to touch on some of those very shortly. It's also full of real life stories, and that's why we're so delighted that Sam agreed to join us for this very first webinar. And there's lots of other stories on the website from farmers and crofters in Scotland. So do take a look at those if you haven't already. Just a little tiny bit of housekeeping and then we'll get going. This is a traditional webinar platform, so we can't see you, but there is a question panel. So if you haven't got it open, you'll be able to see it at the bottom of the screen. And if you pop any questions in there for Sam and John, the two of them can see them and we'll be answering those shortly through the session. We're recording this, so it will be available for you to watch back afterwards. And we promise we won't finish any later than 7 o'clock. So on that note, I will hand over to our very excellent chairman who's going to keep us on time, Mr. John Scott. Thanks, John.
Thanks, Rebecca. Sam, welcome. Absolutely delighted to have you with us on the very first FarmStrong Scotland webinar. We first caught up 2 years ago and I was late picking you up. I'm still feeling bad about how late I was picking you up, getting through the Edinburgh traffic, and we were out on a farm and we had a great couple of hours out chatting, farming and a bit of rugby as well. As a real rugby fan, I'm just delighted to have you here. It was great meeting you. You've had a fantastic rugby career, 153 tests for the All Blacks. And when we met 2 years ago, a couple of days before, you were about to captain the All Blacks against Scotland. And we did push you close. It was a close encounter and we were there watching. Yeah, just to have you with us. And just for to kick things off, if you would give us a bit of a chat about who you are, where you've come from, your rugby background, but obviously your link with FarmStrong in New Zealand and what you do there. But I'll hand over to you at this stage.
Well, cheers. Thanks, John. And thanks, Rebecca, for that lovely intro. So good morning, good evening, everyone. Hopefully everyone can understand my accent. I spent a bit of time in Scotland only a couple of months ago, and it took me a while to adjust to your accent. So hopefully you guys can understand me pretty easily. But as John said, we met a couple of years ago, and yes, you were late, but that's all right. We all make mistakes, and traffic sometimes does that. We all know we're busy people, so I won't hold that against you, mate. So me, I'm 36 years old. I'm one of four boys. I grew up on a Manawatū dairy farm. So mum and dad started out, they purchased their first piece of land and they ended up buying a whole lot of land right next to each other. So dad started milking 60 cows. Where they're at the moment, mum and dad are milking 1,500 cows, which is a big dairy farm. And my brother, who's right next door, who's fifth generation on part of that farm, is milking roughly 1,200 cows. So the dairy farm has always been part of my life, and we used to get up Christmas morning and milk so some of the staff could have time off. We would be out on the farm. We didn't want to do schoolwork. We didn't want to do anything else besides sport and farming. And that's how my story kind of started. We were never given pocket money. It was always, hey, if you want to have some money to go buy something, when we did go to the local town or anything like that, it was go out and catch and kill possums, which is a pretty much like a big rat here in New Zealand. So we used to pluck them for the fur. We had heaps of fun. Because there's only four boys, there's no sisters. We were pretty rough around the edges, and there's only 5 years between all four of us. So we were thick as thieves. Whatever we did together. And we had an awesome upbringing on the farm, and I wouldn't change it for the world. But from there, we went to boarding school, as so many country kids have to do because we're a little bit further away from town. That was an awesome eye-opening moment in my life because I was exposed to so many different things. More sport, exposed to different people from different areas, different farming kids. But we had an absolute blast at boarding school. But this is where rugby really kind of took off for myself and my brothers. We made a few rec teams of the local area. But what we found was it came down to our five best mates. What they were doing is what we wanted to do. So if they were being naughty, we were being naughty. But if they, and it took me a couple of years to work out who to hang around with and who not to, but I kind of ended up with a great group of people that were really keen on achieving some amazing things while at school and after. So some of my closest friends have gone on to be All Blacks, doctors to a really high degree. They're still working there. So my environment was amazing. And within 2 years of leaving school, all of a sudden I was playing Super Rugby, had gone to university, met my wife, and at 21, I was selected to play for the All Blacks. So it happened so, so fast. For me, I wasn't probably ready for it. But going back to my upbringing, having brothers that were rugby mad, that were farming mad, it definitely grounded me to not get too far ahead of myself. Going back to those typical family farming values of working hard, working as a team, helping your mates out, that was something that definitely shone through in rugby. And that's probably how and why I was lucky enough to make it at such a young age. And from then on, I just tried to get better and grow and evolve and chased a lot of different goals. And I was and still am a big goal setter. And that was something that was picked up at school. We had an outstanding teacher that challenged us, but at the same time didn't challenge us too much, made those goals realistic because they wanted us to improve slightly, little bit by little bit, rather than trying to change who you are completely. It was just about small, continuous growth and that compounding growth from day to day, which over the space of a month, 2 months, a year as a school kid is massive. But how Farmstrong and I got involved with Farmstrong was a completely different story. So I was at university and had been playing rugby for a couple of years. My little brother, Luke, had just been in the UK for a gap year, got home, and he rang me one day and he said, "Hey, have you talked to mum and dad lately?" And I was like, "Yeah, I have. Well, what's up?" And he said, "Look, they're under a bit of pressure." So, okay, that's no different to what normally happens on a farm. But he said, "Nah, they're really under pressure." And rang home a couple of times, and every time mum or dad answered, they were pretty short, and I didn't know why they were ending the conversation so quickly. But as it turned out, dairy cows had salmonella, and dad had to shoot, with recommendation from the vet at the time, I think it was 175 of the milking cows, because they were passing it on as a herd from one to the next, had to shoot about 200 of the young stock. So mum and dad lost this massive amount of their stock, their cows that they'd bred over many years, and the financial pressure, the emotional pressure, everything was massive. Mum didn't leave the house for 3 days. And looking at where my parents were in their farming life, they had great support. They had family up and down the road, awesome friends to get around and support them. Financially, they were in a pretty good spot because they've been farming at that stage for 30 years. So they knew that they could get through those tough times. But what it actually did is it amplified it for myself. Imagine if they didn't have that good support, if they didn't have the knowledge and the experience of being farmers for 30 years, you know, what would have happened? How would they got through? And even saying that, I've never seen my mum under so much stress. I've never seen my father under so much stress. And like, they got through, but that's where kind of Farmstrong really kicked in. So when I saw and read and heard and learned about Farmstrong, straight away in my mind, I said, look, I can use this as an example to help other farmers and show there is a light at the end of the tunnel. There are hard times on the farm, but that's something that I experienced it with my parents. And as most kids see their parents, they are the absolute heroes, and to see them struggle because of what the world was throwing at them was pretty tough. And there's some other things that I saw with a friend at university, went through some really tough times with losing a father, a brother to suicide in the space of 6 months. So it's pretty cool being able to come on to a webinar like this and just share quickly my story and why I love being involved with Farmstrong. And the most rewarding thing now is some people will come up to you in the street, shake your hand, and they'll just say thank you. And you can tell that they're going through their struggle. They might be in the middle of their salmonella type situation that my parents went through, but Farmstrong is something that's definitely helping them push through to the light at the end of the tunnel. So that's a real quick rundown of who I am. Married now to Hannah, 3 kids, Fred 7, Iris's 5, and Penelope's 3. So been finished playing rugby since May. I played for the Barbars and at Twickenham for my last game against Fiji. And yeah, that's who I am real quickly without going into too much more. But John, I'm sure you've got some questions and you want to dive into something a bit deeper.
Yeah, I do have a few questions. Thanks, Sammy. That was fantastic. How long have you been involved with Farmstrong then? And you've been involved a while now, and you'll have grown with Farmstrong as it's grown over the last 10 years.
Yeah, I don't actually know what year was my first year. I definitely have been involved around 7 or 8 years, and it's been very enjoyable every year. And look, I don't pretend that I know the answers because I don't. And if I thought I did, that would be a big concern. I'm always looking to grow and learn and get better. But the cool thing is, get to meet some amazing people. And the thing that I really like about Farmstrong is it's farmer to farmer or grower to grower or vice versa. And a lot of these conversations used to happen at the pub, at school pickup, at kindy drop off, and it's just an easier way to put it all online or in a book, just pass on that information that people have picked up, because there's no point trying to do it all yourself. You can be smart to learn from other people's troubles, learn from other people's success, and just make it easier on yourself rather than making it hard.
When we caught up a couple of years ago, we talked a lot about when you returned to farming. What gives you that? It was evident there's a real passion for farming. What gives you that spark, with that passion, that excitement about farming?
Yeah, it's something that, like, I studied at university. I did a Bachelor of Science majoring in plant science. The standard joke at home is that my wife's got 2 degrees because she helped me out with a bit of spell checking and editing a few essays, which I'm not going to deny. But for me, it's what my family's always done. So there's a couple of constants, things that have gone through our lives, and it's always been sport and footy and rugby. And the other one is farming. So without going through completely, I think all my uncles and aunties are farming. Probably 3/4 of my cousins are farming. Both grandparents were farming. So farming's kind of what we've always done. But it's not just dairy farming. There's sheep and beef. There's cropping. One cousin was growing strawberries there for a while and then selling them on all through to Japan. It's been some amazing experiences growing up on the farm. And I think the way and the lifestyle can really set you up to succeed in life, no matter if you stay in the rural world or go do something different. I think it's a pretty cool way to spend your life, yeah.
Just to give us a little bit of a vision of what you're up to in your farming just now, you tell us a little bit about the block you're on, what you've done, that you're fairly recently returned to, although you've had it for a couple of years. What are the things that really excite you about that block, and create that vision for us?
It's a pity we don't have a couple of hours. I could have you on a farm tour and do a big old drive around and show you everything. But the farm, so we've got 830 hectares. We're 25 minutes from Napier, so we're on the Hawke's Bay. So traditionally, we get hot, dry summers and pretty mild winters. We've had the farm for 6.5 years. We've done a heap of fencing because when we first got back on, we took over, we put cattle on, so they got onto the road, into the neighbors, into every other paddock. We couldn't keep stock where they were meant to be. All the infrastructure was very run down, so we've had to refence. We've been attacking the boundary, so we're probably 95% boundary stock proof now. But we're running 500 mixed age cows that have all just finished calving now. Traditionally, we've finished 500 2-year-old steers. We've got another 200 yearling steers, another 200 yearling heifers that will put to the bull anything that's over 320 kgs. We have everything outside. We don't have anything in a barn or anything like that. So it's all outside every day of the year. We have finished anywhere from 3,000 to 4,000 lambs a year as well. So the first lot of them will show up end of this month. And the next lot will be just before Christmas. And they'll hopefully be off the farm within 4 to 5, 6 months. So we don't have any irrigation. It's all traditional grass-fed. We'll put in winter and summer crops. So we just put in 31 hectares of a kale swede mix, which is very traditional New Zealand farming. And then we've got a Hunter brassica in for the lambs, which will see them through the dry heat of the summer.
Oh, grand. Thinking about, farming and the impact that's had on your rugby career, what are the things that you've taken from farming and your upbringing into rugby, and then, linking on to rugby and talking about the highlights of your rugby career?
Yeah, so the way my life has been, this is rugby and this has been farming, and it's kind of just done this. So it's done a complete swap. But for me, there's no way I would have achieved anything that I did in rugby without farming. And it's also having that balance. I found when I first got into the rugby things as a 21 to 25 year old, I tried to live and breathe rugby the whole time. And I was so passionate about rugby. But what I found was it was actually too much. I needed to get away from rugby. And it sounds so funny. The best thing for my rugby was actually to get away from it and stop thinking about it, stop trying to train harder. And that's where farming came in. Loved doing a bit of hunting as well. So that was also a nice way to do it while I was playing rugby professionally, is to get off the rugby field and get out to a farm, actually talk some farming stuff, see some examples, or actually help out on the farm at home or at a friend's farm and just do something completely different. And now the roles have completely reversed. I can't just be on the farm the whole time because I'm like everyone else. There's a thousand things to be done. There's a list there that will never go away, but I've got to actually get off farm because it gives me time to stop and think. And like, I know this is all still very new to me, but it's actually the same principle that I learned through rugby. I'm just now applying it through the farming life.
And in terms of well-being, I know for me that I probably didn't fully understand well-being. Did you have a point in life that you thought, that's what well-being's all about, and actually I'd really need to prioritise it? And how did you sort of, what were those first steps, if you like, from being full-on rugby or full-on farming to actually thinking, right, I need to go hunting, I need to go to the beach, I need to do something else?
Yeah, I think for myself, it really kicked in when I got married and started having children and things, because it went from you pretty much can do what you want, it's easy, Hannah was at work, I was at work, so you can kind of do whatever you need. As soon as you have kids and you get back from work, you need to then start the real world. Kids are a great humbler and they can almost pick up when you're tired or fatigued. And some of those simple things like sleep, taking a water bottle with you, whether that's rugby or whatever, the first thing to get dehydrated is your brain. And if you're making poor decisions, it obviously has an effect, sometimes not straight away, but it might be in 3 months' time, 6 months' time on that decision you made at that time. Look, I know there's the five ways to well-being, which are great. And for everyone, it's different things. People look at different things. I know for myself, sleep has always been a massive one. And because I've taken on more stress, all those things with the farm being back full-time now versus having the farm leased out to my uncle and auntie, that's something that I'm just kind of going back to some of those things that I used to do as a player and going, okay, right, get away from a screen just before bed, have a bit of a routine. Do I read in bed and just switch off from the farm world? Do I write things down on a list? So I'm just kind of going back to some of those things that it doesn't matter where you've picked them up from, whether it's from talking to the neighbor, talking to a farming mentor, etc. It's a really nice thing to have that ability to draw on that knowledge that I've picked up through a different thing being sport.
You've sort of linked to it there, but I was going to ask about those high pressure situations, you know, World Cup finals, and how you handled that and how you've those learnings have then transferred into farming. But you maybe covered that already, but if there's anything else you'd like to draw out on there.
Yeah, I think there's so many similarities between rugby or sport and farming, but then at the same time, there's a lot of differences as well. With sport, you can have a terrible week, but you perform for your game, so your 80 minutes of a rugby game, and everyone looks at it and sees the result and go, hey, that was a really successful year, successful game or whatever. But farming's different because you're judged every day. Someone drives up the drive, everyone drives around the road, your workers, owners, etc. You're judged on every moment of every day, but that pressure can be overwhelming at times. But I think the best thing that I learned very early in my rugby career, because when you are an All Black, you're an All Black to the day you die. So whether you do something great or something not so great, first thing in the newspaper or an article, Samuel Whitelock, All Black, did bang, 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 bang. And at the start, that was something that I thought, oh, okay, this is completely different. This is not a good thing. But once I talked to a few players, they talked around the responsibility, and it's an actual, like, pressure is actually a privilege, and just reframed a few things, looked at it in a more positive way. And for me, that was something that settled me down and just put me into a really good spot. So that definitely helped in the rugby sense, and that's something that I'm trying to do as well in the farming sense, and passing it on to the staff members and things like that as well.
Rugby's a bit like farming, that can be really intense. And I know myself, I get sucked into it, and I sometimes don't make time to clear my head to make good business decisions, farming related decisions. How do you do that? How do you manage that? How do you make sure you give yourself time to make the right decisions?
I think this is something that I'm going through now because I call myself a pretend farmer at the moment. We've got a farm, but at the same time, haven't been on the farm physically ourselves for that long. I think we've been back 8 weeks and making decisions on time frames. What I've found is when I was looking at things day to day, it's easier to make those day to day decisions, but you've got to be able to go from day to day decisions to pull right out and go to a 12-month, 5-year plan. And that's something that's definitely helped me. Is just actually putting a little bit of a process in place. And that's something that anyone can do. For me, it's definitely helped me to be able to pull back and withdraw and actually go, right, I need to look 12 months ahead here rather than going day to day because all of a sudden you need to drench cattle. Okay, we don't have the drench. By the time you order it, get it, it's a week later. And then all of a sudden you're getting negative growths and things like that. So I'm learning all the time. The thing is, there's so many of those skills that you pick up from around the world, from different people, that you just got to transfer them across. And I think that's the biggest one is that I've found is the process. Where is that process? Do you have a process for it? Talk around habits. As a rugby player, I had to stretch a lot. So whenever I did that, I would go over my game and what I wanted to do and achieve. So it's no different to what you can do, creating a habit to go, right, okay, what do I need to do today? How am I going to do it? Do you set your day up a little bit just before, the night before, so you know what you're doing, you know who you got to catch up with, who you got to see, what people have got to do that day, and go from there.
Your Farmstrong, both in New Zealand and in Scotland, talks a lot about habits. How do you make those habits stick? It's easy to make the bad habits stick, but how do you make the good habits stick?
Yeah, I think if that answer was that easy, the world would be an easy place. But I think it's just repetition. Read a few different books and love getting information from heaps of different sources, whether that's person to person. And I love talking to people that are older than me because they've just experienced more in the world. Love reading books, listening to podcasts, all those things. And the best thing is you can get information from anywhere now. The way the world is, I can get information from anyone in Scotland within a couple of minutes, same with New Zealand, etc. I think the main thing with it is where you're getting information from and what's the quality of that information. Once you get that, it's pretty easy to attack anything in the world and going, okay, this is what I want to do, this is what I want to achieve, and this is how I'm going to do it. So that's how I'm kind of trying to do it at the moment and trying to be really open to new ideas, new suggestions. And it's really easy for me at the moment because I don't know it all and I don't pretend that I do. So that's the best thing for me to just keep an open mind and just look at things as a opportunity to learn and grow. And as I do that, it all becomes a lot easier than it could be or has been.
No, folks, we're going to move on to some questions shortly, so please type your questions there. But some highlights both on the pitch and in terms of Farmstrong in New Zealand. Could you just talk us through some of your play highlights? And obviously, you've been involved as an ambassador for Farmstrong in New Zealand for some time now. Your highlights there.
So off the field, had some amazing highlights, and I'm going to use you, John, as an example. Because being able to do this amazing journey through rugby, and even now, I still see myself as a country kid that I still, when people say, hey, were you an All Black? And I've kind of gone, oh, yeah, I kind of have to second guess myself because I just never saw it as a job, always saw it as a massive opportunity and very, very privileged to achieve what I did. That's something that, kind of doesn't really sit in most people's top of the list, but for me, it does. And with Farmstrong, it's exactly the same. Met some amazing people around the world, seen some pretty cool things. Like, I think I've been to South Africa 33 times. So I know the Johannesburg airport just as well as I know the Auckland airport or the Christchurch airport or anything like that. So been very, very lucky to travel, to experience some amazing things, meet some amazing people. The cool thing is everyone's different. No one's the same. And it's the same with playing around the world. So, for example, Scotland, when you guys turn all your lights down, you run out and you've got the lone bagpiper up at that stadium. Look, I'm not Scottish. Mum's maiden name was Dalzell, which is very Scottish. So I do have that Scottish blood in me. But even thinking about it now, my hairs on my arms are standing up, and it's a pretty amazing thing to hear. The one thing I don't like about your stadium, though, is there's a little lip there. And because it's all dark, you can't see it. So the best advice I got given from a player from Kieran Reid, he said, look, when you run out, this is the first time I played there, he goes, be careful because you'll trip up, you'll fall on your face. No one will see it because it'll all be dark. But it's not a nice way to start a game after tripping up on, as you get onto the field. But every place is so different. So you guys know the UK, so the English will sing their songs. The Irish will deadly quiet when someone's having a shot at conversion. The Welsh will sing in that awesome stadium that they have. I think they call it the Principality Stadium at the moment. But as you go around the world, everything's different. So you go to South Africa and they're throwing fruit at the bus. They're slamming on the bus and they want to get in there and scrum you into the ground. And they're saying things and pulling fingers. But then after the game, they change straight away and your best mates again. I'm just talking about the fans there. You go to play in Argentina and it took me a while. I couldn't work out why everyone was whistling, but over there they whistle instead of boo. The All Blacks score a try and they whistle. And it's all just a different way of living life, experiencing it. And it's a pretty humbling thing now because I have finished to actually sit back and watch and kind of actually think about some of the cool things that we achieved. Because that was one thing when I first started with Farmstrong that I definitely wanted to push across, because farmers and rugby players are very similar in some respect. We're so busy, we never actually stop and enjoy and celebrate what you've achieved, whether that's right, we just put in a new shed somewhere and, it's been a massive financial thing, emotional cost, and all those things. Some people just move straight on to the next thing. And we're shockers as rugby players. We never stop and enjoy and actually go, how awesome is that that we've just achieved? Whether it's a small little thing or it's a big one. So, yeah, it's a pretty cool thing to be able to sit back now as a retired rugby player, even though I only played my last game in May, and actually look back at some of those things that we achieved.
That's a really, really good point there, Sam, with that just stopping and taking notice. It's something we're all guilty of maybe not doing on a regular basis, but we need to do more. Some questions coming in now from Colin. What do you feel is the biggest cause of stress in farming for you just now?
For me just now, like I said to you at the start, you don't want to hear this, but it's actually getting a little bit of rain. So it'd be good to get those crops established here in the Hawke's Bay in October. You can kind of get these winds that just blow and blow and blow because there's no grass cover. All that good topsoil potentially can blow to the fence line. So that would be one thing that people have started to feel the pinch a little bit. It does traditionally get dry here, but the last couple of years we've had a lot of spring rain and summer rain. So people have actually grown more grass than they traditionally would have. And some people have kind of got used to it. That's what we're facing at the moment. But people down south, right down the bottom of New Zealand, Invercargill, Dunedin, etc., they've had too much rain. So they're pretty much like they're in the middle of winter, but it should be starting to dry out and they should be getting some really good growth. But at the moment, they're having to feed out some of their hay and balers that they have saved up for when they really need it.
Yes, that worldwide theme, that weather. From
Yeah.
Alan, not many of us get to be in the elite world like you. How do we normal business people use the experience you have from sport in life and business? What's the biggest transferable skill? What's the thing we can learn?
Oh, there's so many things around that that you could dive into. But the thing that I probably have learned the most through what I've done is understanding yourself. And normally, my wife picks up on it quicker than I can. She'll know when I'm stressed. She'll know when I'm not taking enough time away from whatever I'm doing. And I'm not meaning go and stop and have a 3 week holiday. I'm meaning sometimes it's just a cup of tea. Just stop for 5 minutes, collect your thoughts, get your energy back, take a breath, then you can go and dive straight back into it. So I think that's the biggest one is trust the people around you, and normally the people closest to you can pick up on your body language. That was the same as a player. You could see when someone was under stress. You could see when a referee potentially was getting influenced by different things. So reading body language was always a big one.
From Alex, what do you do day to day to manage your own well-being?
For myself, I've kind of got a bit of a routine. Oh, sorry, I had a really good routine with rugby because my world's changed completely now. I used to have a calendar. They go, bang, this is what your week is. You're told to be where and when. You pretty much have your life mapped out for you and everything else fits around that. So for me now, biggest challenge is I don't have someone filling out my calendar and there's no games put in. So that's what I'm just adjusting at the moment and kind of trying some different things and seeing how it's working. There's heaps of room for improvement, especially for myself around mapping out what my day-to-day looks like, what job is the most important, because you can run around and do all those little jobs that, you know, are annoying and they kind of don't go anywhere, but it's just working at what the most important one is. And that's what I'm trying to do at the moment, is getting everything written down on a piece of paper or my diary and actually prioritizing the right one, the most important one. So that's how I'm kind of managing my well-being, because I'm actually looking and going, okay, what do I actually have to do today and what is it nice to have done today? So that's how I'm kind of doing it. I'm just doing it through a list. And then I'm reviewing those lists as I'm going forward and going, okay, did I actually do the most important thing here? Because the last thing you want to do is have it all come on top of you, because there's so much to be done. It's just actually nailing the priority. And that's how I'm kind of attacking it at the moment.
That question actually links quite well to a question from Fiona. How are you finding the transition from full-time sports to full-time farming?
Yeah, very different, but loving it. So the biggest thing that's different is, for me to get any physical time, we've been ripping out fences and stuff, picking out old concrete posts that are very heavy. So my hands, I've been in Japan for 2 weeks, are soft now, but for a while there were calluses and blisters and all those things. But the best thing with it is I'm actually spending more time with my kids and my wife. I'm surprised the kids haven't run in yet. Hopefully they don't. They should be getting ready for school, but I'm sure they're not. So that's probably the biggest thing from a full-time rugby player. The whole day is about getting strong, getting your body to the best spot it can be. Where farming, you can't prioritize that. So I've been doing that, been playing rugby since I was three. I'm 36 now. So that has been probably the biggest change, not prioritizing my body. So I'm just trying to find ways and little habits to install so I do feel as well as I can. So I've been doing a little bit of stretching in that once I come in from the day, and that's definitely helping things, because there's nothing worse than getting a sore back from picking up concrete posts and things like that. So it is a challenge at the moment, but enjoying what full-time farming looks like.
And stretching is a really good point. It's something that I know I don't do. If I've got a physical day, and we really should be thinking about that at the end of the day. A question there from Neil. Is there a common or prevalent theme to the causes of stress and a reason for reaching out to Farmstrong amongst those that get involved in Farmstrong New Zealand?
Yes, I think the best thing about Farmstrong Scotland or Farmstrong New Zealand is, even though we're on the other side of the world and we all have similar pressures but different pressures, we're actually learning things from each other, and also within New Zealand and within Scotland. The best thing is sharing information with your neighbours, and I'm not talking about financial information, I'm talking about just some little things that you've picked up or been taught from family members, previous generations, friends, something that you read in a book. Because all we're trying to do the same thing. And the best thing about all our industries is, if we can be more efficient, it gives us more time with friends and family. It makes us happier. And then all of a sudden, it can affect our overall well-being, not only of us as people, but also our farms and our land. Because that's probably one of the things that people do forget, is you keep the land and the land keeps you. So if you're not in a good spot, it's really hard to keep your land in a good spot. So that was one thing that definitely came out when I first got involved with Farmstrong. It doesn't matter what the farm's like, but if you're not in a good spot, you can't keep it or get it to where you want it to be.
God, some really good questions coming in here, folks. From Mark, do you feel you're an open person, able to talk to anybody about anything, whether it's farming or sport?
I'd say traditionally I'm actually pretty quiet, but when you're on a webinar like this and there's a whole lot of people there and I can't see you, it's actually quite easy to have a yarn to someone like John, who I've met before a couple of times. Sometimes you actually forget there's all these other people listening, so hopefully we're hitting all the areas that you want us to talk about. And this is where quick questions are good, because you can kind of answer a question. If you don't know the answer, you just say, look, I don't know the answer, and carry on.
I think that's one of the things for me, that the involvement with Farmstrong initially in New Zealand and then in Scotland, and as we've set up, is that I know myself, I've become a lot more open and able to talk about how I feel and the things that concern me. And I think, you know, speaking to other steering group members, board members of Farmstrong in Scotland, you know, Jock, for example, we have really good conversations about how we feel now. We know that, you know, if each other's, we can sort of sense if each other's sort of struggling a little bit, we can tell, and you know, we're on it. And I've got good mates locally that I'll share quite regularly with, if they know if you're feeling a bit flat about things, pick you up. From Katrina, what do you feel is the most challenging group of farmers to reach, older farmers or younger farmers?
I think John just hit the nail on the head there a little bit. I've found people that are new to the industry, myself, for example, I'm so keen to learn and grow. I'm not really set in my ways yet. So people like myself are actually searching information, but I can see the longer I've been on the farm, I'm starting to settle into some habits that I want to do. So I'd say the older farmers potentially can be more challenging because they've been successful whichever way they've done it. They've kind of got into their rhythm or their groove. Sometimes it's really hard to open people's minds. I found younger people are probably a little bit more open-minded. So, and that's something that I'm definitely trying to do. And John just touched around it about himself. Yeah, it's always good to be open-minded and see where you can go. And that's where the science comes in. You know, the open-minded growth mindset versus the fixed mindset. It's got that science background, but it's spoken about a little bit differently, and words are a little bit different. But I think that growth mindset is a great way to be. You can always listen to someone. If you don't agree, you don't have to actually put that message into practice. But it's always nice to listen and see what happens.
A really good point there. What techniques or strategies that help you clear your mind at the end of the day? That was from Alistair.
Yes, so this is one thing that I'm getting better at because it's pretty much like saying to someone, look, you know, I'm going to use a bad analogy here. So it's like saying to someone that wants to drink beers, you can go sit at the end of the pub, but you're not allowed to do it, but you can watch everyone else do it, where all of a sudden I'm allowed to get in there and have a drink. So I'm so excited and been wanting to be farming for a long time. Now I've finally got an opportunity to get into it. So I've just been farming in my head flat stick for 6 weeks. The biggest thing was I wasn't actually stopping and clearing my head at the end of the day. And what I found was the best thing to do was actually just take 2 to 5 minutes and write everything down that was in my head. As soon as I put it onto a piece of paper, it was so much easier to actually put that to the side and actually deal with kids, be present at home, actually talk to my wife about whatever she's done during her day. Because everyone wants to talk about themselves and what they're got going on. Sometimes it's really hard to actually stop, ask a question, and then just have some silence and wait and find out what that answer is that comes back. So that's something that I'm definitely working on at the moment. But my technique is writing it down. And because it's written down, it's easy to go back to, something that I can go back to the first thing in the morning or later on and just hit that reset button and just kind of go from there. That definitely has helped. So thanks for your question. That's a good one.
Yeah, I mean, the reset button is very important. It's something Mark Gascoigne talked about when he was across on his tour. And that's a question there from Alan about how do you actually hit it when things go wrong. And we hear about the water bottle trick in the game, but what about elsewhere?
So when I played, I had a couple of little things to reset. Water bottle. In a rugby game, you can't wait for a water bottle. So for myself, can't see my feet, but I used to wiggle my toes on the ground just to be present where I was. And because it's obviously the negative loop or the positive loop in your head, getting outside your head, wiggling my toes was a physical thing. I could feel it. And then that allowed me to go to my process of what's the most important thing here. And 99% of the time is, especially in the sporting world, is nail your next job. So for me, whether it was a scrum, a line out, a tackle, getting to the new mark or whatever, it was all right, just nail that. Another one I had too was I used to lick my fingers all the time. But the problem with that is in a professional sporting environment is someone will see that and go, okay, Sam's under pressure, right? I'm going to attack him more. So whether that's verbally, physically, whatever move. So I went to something that people couldn't see. So without going into the mental space too much, it's an area that I definitely enjoyed, especially later on in my career. Yeah, nice to have those little tricks of the trade to use. Even just like where your eyes sit. So under pressure, a lot of people put their eyes down or eyes up, and sometimes just even having your head neutral and looking people in the eye, and it actually opens up your vision. So you use your peripheral vision so you see more things. So especially on a rugby field, you don't have a lot of time to take 5 minutes out to go have a cup of tea and take a breath. You've got to be able to do it within half a second, quarter of a second. And the better you get at it, the faster you can do it. And sometimes you might use it 20 or 30 times in a game.
Sam, that water bottle, just talk us through that water bottle trick because I hadn't heard about that one.
So Brad Thorne used to use the water bottle, and I hope this is a trick that the people were talking about. He used to squirt water all over his face, and that was his time to just wash away whatever mistake he had, and then allowed him to look forward and work out the next thing. Other players used to talk to themselves, and sometimes it's quite funny when someone walks past you and they're having a full-on conversation around why did they do this and what's the next step going forward. But that's what you're talking about before, the habits. When you work out what you want to do, it's working out how to install that habit. And the easiest thing to do is stack habits. So every morning, I still do it now. When I brush my teeth, I brush my teeth on one foot. So I'm doing some ankle rehab at the same time. So now I don't even realize I'm doing it because I've done it for the last 17 years of my playing career. It's just a habit I do now. So whether I'm up at 2 in the morning brushing my teeth, or I'm brushing my teeth late at night and I'm wherever in the world, I'll brush my teeth on one foot. And that's just because when I did that one habit of brushing my teeth, I stacked another habit onto it, which was doing my ankle rehab.
From Fergus, with your new farm adventure, are you doing it in partnership with your wife? Is there any skills, tips to working and living together? That's a really good question, Fergus.
So this is all new to myself and to my wife, Hannah, but we're doing it together. Her name's on the line just as much as mine. So the best thing is we see different things. Men and women see different things. People see different things, but the best thing is doing it together. Really nice to work together, but at the same time, you can't be in each other's pockets the whole time. The kids keep us pretty busy. Our youngest daughter, Penelope's 3, so Hannah's dropping her off at kindy. So she does get a little bit of time away from the farm, which is nice, but we're just splitting up the roles and we will cross over at times, but it's really nice to be able to have breakfast together or lunch or dinner, because traditionally a rugby player is away for 150 days of the year. So it's nice to spend a little bit more time with my kids and my wife, even though rugby and farming at times can be really busy and you're out the door before the sun's up and the kids are out of bed. But it is nice when you do have that space to roam and go do something that you all want to do.
So coming from Simon here, through Farmstrong, I've learned to tell folk the truth when they ask, how are you? I find it really throws them when you say things aren't fine. Do you find that too? And Sam, one of the things that you mentioned to me when we met before was that if you ask someone if they're fine and you leave it, and they'll say, oh yeah, I'm fine. If you leave it 20 seconds and you don't fill the gap and you ask again. So just a bit of comment on that, and that comment from Simon there in reply to that.
Yeah, thanks, Simon, for the honesty there. I actually had it, one of the great players I played with, Kevin Mialamu. I think I might have gone from the bench to, started to the bench or something 1 week, and I don't think the coaches had said why, and I was a little bit grumpy, and he's obviously picked up on it, and he said, hey Sam, how are you going? And I said, oh, yeah, no, all good. And he replied straight away, but how are you really going? And then he just used silence. It's amazing. Within 5 to 10 seconds, I had just kind of given that little turn the tap on, let everything out, and then 10 seconds later, I turned it off, and he just looked at me and goes, look, you feel better now? And he goes, yep. I felt so much better because he had picked up my body language. He'd seen my behaviours had changed a little bit. My habits might have been a little bit different to what I had been doing. Being honest, sometimes is the best, 99% of the time is the best thing to do. And the cool thing is he did it in such a good space, and he didn't do it in front of a whole lot of people. He did it in front of myself and him. So I could be a little bit more vulnerable. I didn't have to worry about what other people were going to say if I gave the honest answer. And that was something that I've definitely used with a lot of people when I've picked up on body language, picked up on, you know, if someone's not acting the way they normally do, it's normally because something's going on away from the farm or away from the field. And 9 times out of 10, it's the kids are sick at home, or there's a challenge going on in their life. Someone's under a bit of pressure, and it's always good to have that yarn. And silence is a big one, is actually embracing the silence and not answering the question for them. Or sometimes even when they have their little reply, is actually just keep waiting, because there's always good things that come. They normally know the answer themselves, but sometimes they're just going to say it out loud to really believe it.
From Alistair, do you have a mantra?
As a rugby player, I set goals every year. I definitely wanted to achieve certain things and really enjoyed trying to get better and grow and evolve and take my game from one area to the next. Farming's very similar, but I don't have a specific mantra that I know yet. I think I will get there at some stage, especially on the farm. But as a rugby player, I'd have a couple of goals that, you know, I wanted to be the best player in the country, best player in the world. Sometimes never achieve them, but it was really nice to have those big, scary, hairy goals that I knew I'd had to work to over a long time as well. Hopefully, if you ask me in a year's time, I'll be able to say this is what the farming mantra is or the farming goals are. We've got a whole lot of little ones at the moment, but just need to get involved in the farm, and another couple of months will be a great little spot for us.
We're getting close to the end of these questions, folks. We've just got a couple more to do. But from David, how do you find the social change from being surrounded by teammates and coaches on a daily basis to spending more time alone?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. So gone from pretty much everyone in the team environment openly saying, look, they want to be the best in the world. They want to keep improving. They've got that real open growth mindset to roughly 50 people now on the farm. There's two full-time employees. One's a little bit younger than me, one's 50. So it's a little bit weird telling a 50-year-old what to do, even though he's been farming a lot longer than I have. But it's working together. It is a challenge because if you don't like someone in the rugby environment, there's always someone there that you will. But it's something that I'm dealing with and don't mind my own space. But it's something that I've got to be aware of. Getting that social connection is critical. That's where the kids are coming in with their sport. Took my son to athletics yesterday and really nice to meet some new people and see 100 odd kids running around the athletics track and all the parents on the sidelines. So I'm getting some of that social interaction with other people in different forms.
God, Sam, I don't know if you want to pick one last question. There's a few left there, but if you want to grab one and run with it, that would be great for our final.
Oh, hardest opponent I ever played against, probably my little brother, because mum would ring me and tell me to be nice to him, but she wouldn't do the same for him. But played against some amazing people around the world, like the Grey Boys, the South African Boys, the Matfields, the Buckies. Yeah, played against some amazing people. Real quickly, reading the next question. Mental resilience. Oh, I really like this. For me, there's all those bumper stickers. You know, you used to see them on the car. You know, it's not about getting hit down, it's about how many times you can get up. And I think those things are actually pretty cool. And some of them are a bit corny, but I actually really like some of those one-liners. And for me, I'm always trying to improve. And something our school hostel manager used to always tell us is like, look, are you better today than you were yesterday? Are you better than before? And that's something that always comes into whether it's mental, physical, or whatever. If you're improving, you're in a better spot. And I think that's something that is something that's probably actually been a constant throughout my life, having brothers, because it was pretty ruthless at times. Brothers would see a weakness, they'd attack. And because we're all pretty close in age, at times it ended up in a bit of a dust up when we were younger. But the best thing now is we're all so close in age. My little brother's best man is really good friends with my oldest brother. All our kids are pretty much the same age, and history is just repeating. And it's a really nice place to be when we do get together, even though we're all around the world still.
Well, that's a great way to finish off, folks. And just a couple of things from me. Farmstrong in New Zealand have been key to Farmstrong in Scotland. They've been so supportive. Gerard Vaughan, who many of you will have met at the Highland Show, has been a real supporter. I'm sure Gerard's listening to things. I thank you to him. To Movember, they've been key at the start, and RAS and NFU Mutual, our founding partners, our founding funders. Thank you all. We've got a survey that's live just now. It'd be great if you could just go and sit and fill that in. It's really important. It's on the website. It's also on our socials. You'll see it there. Our next webinar is Isla McKenzie, who's a farmer's daughter from the Isle of Lewis, and that's on the 21st of November. There's lots of thank yous coming in there on the comments. But Sam, that's been fantastic. You've been so open with us. You've shared. It's been great. We've had great interaction from those of you listening online. And thank you for your fantastic questions. Best of luck, Sam. I really hope the farming career goes as well as the All Blacks career. And we'll look forward to catching up with you again. But I don't know if there's anything final from you before we go.
More of a thank you. It's always hard when you see there's, what's there, 61 odd people here listening, but you don't know if that old one-liner people were laughing at or not. Really nice to be able to hopefully open and shed some light on what we're doing here in New Zealand and what's been successful. As you can see, the sun is starting to come up, so I better get into some serious work. But yeah, thank you very much. And hopefully the weather over there is nice it is here. I'll send some sun if you send some rain.
You know, that's a good deal. Thanks, Sam.
Awesome. Cheers, guys. Have a good night, everyone.